It's Happy Hour again from Uptown New Orleans. Hello, I'm Grant Morris. Happy Hour is part of the family of shows on the podcast network. It's neworleans.com. When you walk into a bar in New Orleans and you pull up a bar stool, you never know who's going to be sitting on either side of you. What you do know is no matter what they look like, what they're wearing, whether they just got out of a limousine or just got out of jail, they're going to be happy to talk to you because that's New Orleans and this is Happy Hour, a cocktail-fueled 60 minutes of random conversation with folks who have nothing in common. Other than we're all New Orleanians in a bar today, we're at Wayfair on Ferret Street, which is a couple of blocks down from Napoleon Avenue. It used to be the Killing Fields down here, but now it's actually rather delightful. We're right across from the European Wax Center and the gelato joint and Bar Francis. Is unbelievable what's going on down here. And if you come into Wayfair itself, you can enjoy a three-hour happy hour here every day from 3 to 6, an awesome brunch on the weekends. I want to say thank you before we get started too, to our Patreon subscribers who helped make this show possible. Thank you to everybody on Patreon. If you'd like to be a part of our Patreon family, go to patreon.com and search for It's New Orleans Happy Hour. And I want to tell you too, Andrew Duhon is not here today, but if you're interested in being a part of Andrew Duhon's record release party, which is going to be awesome, you guys might be interested in this. It's not going to be a record release party. It's going to be an event in the woods in City Park.
Oh, that sounds fun. Cool.
It's going to be called a needle drop. And it's going to be in City Park on April the 29th, I believe. And you can find out all about that on andrewduhon.com. You can also find out about Andrew's gig at Jazz Fest and French Quarter Fest and everything else as well. So that's everything I have to tell you. That's been Happy Hour for another week. Thanks for Thanks
for joining. In the woods?
Chris True is here. The fabulous comedian Chris True is joining us.
Hey, in the woods?
In the woods. It's called a needle drop, and I think they're going to play the live record out in the woods in City Park.
Is there going to be a noise violation?
I think it's going to be quiet. Actually.
Okay.
It's going to be sort of sophisticated and subdued and a sort of, you know, interesting little evening.
I think that's a very sweet idea.
I think it's going to be pretty cool, yeah. Don't you guys think as well?
Sure, we should have done that.
Yeah, that's what I was just
yeah.
saying.
Luke right. Harrig and Boyana Trajanova are here from the band Blato Zlato.
Thanks for having us.
It's yeah, good
happy
to see
here.
You, Boyana.
Nice pronunciation, too.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Well, I speak Bulgarian. Is it?
No.
Is that Bulgarian, actually?
It yeah. is Bulgarian.
It is. Now, who's Bulgarian here? You're
oh,
Bulgarian.
Me. You know that.
I know, but you've been here longer than you were in Bulgaria at this point.
That is true.
How long were you in Bulgaria for? Like 2 years?
9 years.
9 years? Oh, that's not bad. The first 9 years.
Yeah.
And you've been here ever since which
yep. We escaped communism. Mm-hmm.
And what is it like now in Bulgaria?
It's a lot different. They
is
have,
it groovy?
They have stores with merchandise on the shelves. That's
right.
new. Yeah.
So you can get bread and butter.
You can get bread and you don't have to wait in line for 6 hours.
That's what it was
amazing.
Like when you were growing up there?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember waiting in bread lines with my grandpops in the middle of a snowstorm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was because of the commies.
Commies, man.
And now who runs
Commie
the
bastards.
Joint?
Corrupt non-commies, you know.
Is it a democracy or do we have to...
It's a democracy,
so
but
we don't
a
have
corrupt
to invade
one.
Them
They're
and...
actually a member state of the European Union.
Oh,
did
really?
You know that?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about Bulgaria. Do you know anything about Bulgaria? Katie Tinsley is here. Katie, do you know anything about Bulgaria?
I don't know a lot about Bulgaria, no. It sounds nice.
Do you know where
it's
it is?
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's in Eastern Europe.
Oh, okay.
It's in the former USSR, probably somewhere near Yugoslavia.
Hey,
it's right next door, actually.
Yeah. It is. Okay, I'd say that's worth a round of applause.
That's
very good.
Bonus points.
Now, you must get this question all the time, Boyana. I'm sure most people do not know where it is, I bet you.
Most people do not know.
Right. Did you know, Lou?
Yes.
How did you know? You're not Bulgarian.
Well, no, that's
no, but
cheating.
I've been there a bunch of times. You, that's an unfair advantage.
What were you doing there?
I was studying music there. I'm in a Bulgarian band. That's what I do.
Well, I know you are now.
Yeah.
And that's because you were in Bulgaria.
Yes.
See, I don't know anyone who's even been to Bulgaria. Chris, have you been to Bulgaria?
I have not, but I spent most of the past week doing WrestleMania events.
Here
in New Orleans doing WrestleMania events. And the hands-down most popular wrestler who is getting chants at every single show, big and small, was a Bulgarian wrestler whose name is Rusev.
That's my people, man.
Yeah. Happy Rusev Day.
We're good at wrestling and weightlifting.
Second cousin.
Did you get to meet Rusev, Chris?
I did not. Rusev was busy celebrating Rusev Day, which was every single day for the past week.
So wow. C-Rock said that. Happy Rusev Day. Was that a joke? You're not a joke.
No, that's the chant for Rusev. People like him so much, every day is Rusev Day.
Even
Rusev.
When he's not fighting, just other wow. fighters will be up there, and they'll just get in with the Rusev chants because they want Rusev.
So Rusev was hands down the most popular wrestler this week at WrestleMania. And he's from Bulgaria. He's a Bulgarian brute.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Is he also a good wrestler?
He's an excellent wrestler.
I don't think they would give him his own day if he was a bad wrestler.
Did you know that shit is fake?
What is?
Wrestling?
What's fake about it?
Yeah. You know, the fakeness.
What do you mean?
Uh-oh.
No, let's do it. Let's do it. Do you watch TV?
No.
Do you watch theater ever?
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's not real either.
Right.
Like everything is like a production.
Yeah, so is wrestling.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. It's like the most badass production, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of WrestleMania, but I saw photos of the stage, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was insane. The production value was amazing.
Yeah, it's like part Super Bowl, part like huge convention for people who like this very bizarre art form.
Well, it's bigger than the Super Bowl, I hear. Is it truly bigger than the Super Bowl?
Not in terms of ratings, because it's not on national television, but it drew over 200 countries were here, bought a ticket. Every state from the country, from the U.S. was here. There was, I think, $140 million of local economic impact. Every hotel room was sold out. It was just... It's Super Bowl-ish in those right. terms. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I got stuck in some gnarly traffic downtown.
For something that was fake.
Yeah.
That
traffic was real, though. Yeah.
When people say it's fake, what they're getting at is that these people who look like they're being smashed to pieces aren't really being smashed to pieces.
Well, the thing is that for a long time, wrestling pretended like it was not fake. Like, so I think when, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, I think
what Hulk Hogan and
what they were trying to put out into the world was that this is real fighting. This is similar to boxing. And
right.
Sometime in the mid 90s, late 90s, it started to be like, we're not pretending like it's fake anymore. And then for the past 10-ish years.
We're not pretending like it's fake anymore. I mean, we were admitting that it is fake.
Right, right.
Well, then why were you so upset when they... Just because it's just the
take that wrestling is fake across the board is, I think, is a little antiquated.
You're just saying it is, though.
Well, it's like...
Saying wrestling is fake is like saying a movie is fake.
Well, it's like telling a small child that Santa Claus doesn't exist and it's not real.
But that's true.
Let them have it. Yeah, but let them have their joy.
So wait, you mean Santa Claus isn't real?
Why?
Either it's fake or it's not.
Hopefully no children are watching.
Well, so saying wrestling is fake is, and like just owning that take and like bear hugging that is like saying, it's like watching a movie and being like, that didn't really, that's not real. That's a set.
Right.
That's a set. Or like right. watching a horror movie and someone opening the door and being like, you're going to get killed. You know, it's a little bit.
Okay, so we know that when we see like a plane crash into a mountain in a movie that there's not really a plane crashing into a mountain. There's no people dead.
Right, but
so
what you
see
do,
a guy crashing into the floor at the Superdome, that really is real.
Well, the physicality is real. It's just the outcomes are staged. It's choreographed. It's like a play. And so, I mean, these athletes, this Bulgarian man is probably very strong and good at what he does.
Is that his name?
Rusev.
Rusev.
How do you spell it? R-U-S-E-F?
V.
Yeah, but in
R-U-S-E-V.
V. R-U-S-E-V. What does he look like?
That sounds like a last name to me. I think it is his last name.
Yeah. Good call. Good eye.
What's his first name?
A Bulgarian.
Well, he goes by Rusev. So I don't know his actual first name.
Okay. What does he look like?
Like a real athlete. Goes by his last name.
He looks like a super athlete, Grant Morris.
He does.
Yeah.
He looks like
the future United States champion.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
But he's not an American. He's Bulgarian. Does he fight for Bulgaria? Do you fight for your country in this, or is it just?
It's not the Olympics.
It's not.
But Bulgarians love Bulgarians.
Yes,
so
that's
he probably
true.
Is fighting for Bulgaria. And Bulgaria is probably fighting for him.
Yeah, and he's got the Bulgarian flag as part of his intro.
Of course he does.
It's a big. I think it's a big part of his character.
What's the Bulgarian national anthem? Is that what you're going to be your question, Katie?
I was going to ask what the Bulgarian flag looked like.
Oh, it's white, green, and red stripes. White on top, green in the middle, red on the bottom.
And does it stand
like
for anything?
A little mix up of the Italian flag.
Sort of, yes. Except it's horizontal.
Yeah. Nice.
Lou, how long were you in Bulgaria for?
I've been there a few times. Last time I was there, for maybe 2 months or so, and we're actually going back this summer together.
The two of you?
Our whole band.
The whole band. Blato Zlato.
You got it.
And so Blato Zlato in Bulgarian means swamp gold.
Yes.
Is that true, or is that just
well,
it says on your
I mean,
bio?
It's not like wrestling. It's actually true. Actually, it is like wrestling. Actually, that name was created before a Bulgarian speaker was in the band, that being me. So it's more like a Google Translate version of Swamp Gold.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
so
not
it's
how
not
you
really
say
what you would.
Swamp Gold, because what is Swamp Gold? Is it
I don't know,
gold from a swamp?
I thought it was just amazing that the word swamp, rhymed with something in Bulgarian.
Well, that is
which
true.
One?
I mean,
that's part of why it's such a great name.
The
which
words do mean swamp, and the words do mean
gold. So
it's more
Zlato
like the
is
syntax
gold.
Is off.
Yeah, the syntax is off.
Yeah. Zlato is gold.
Zlato is gold, like the Russian word for money.
You got it.
Yeah, Zlato.
Okay. So, and the, what's the other word?
Blotto.
Blotto. So what is swamp. That? It's a means swamp.
Yeah.
So it's swamp and gold.
Yes, but that's not how
you
would say that.
But
yeah.
You wouldn't say swamp gold in English, rather, because there's no such thing.
I think swamp gold is a great name.
Thank you.
I think swamp gold is a really good name.
I thought if you got really drunk, you were getting blottoed, right?
What? That's what we do at our rehearsals. We like to think it's kind of like Jefferson Airplane.
Oh,
like, did Jefferson own the airplane? Did Jefferson get airplane? Do you know? Like, the syntax is kind of off, but the words are both
true. What
about
other stupid band names like Pink Floyd?
That's pretty stupid,
that's a good
too.
One, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I'll tell you the worst band name of all time is the Beatles.
Yeah.
It's a bad
it is
pun.
Pretty bad.
It's
really
a
pun.
Bad.
It's
terrible.
It's a pun. It's B-E-A-T.
But you know it's a great band name? Because they're a great band.
Oh, so, of course. Yeah. So, of course, I'm on board with that. The band makes the name. I love Swamp Gold. I think Swamp Gold's great.
I like Swamp Gold too. It doesn't have mean anything, does it? Because it doesn't mean there is no. Is there such a thing as gold in a swamp? No.
I mean, maybe.
What does gold mean to you, Grant?
Gold is the thing in your nose.
Yeah. What does gold mean to you?
Sorry, I was just thinking in my head whether or not your nose ring was actually made of gold, and I was like, it probably isn't.
Is
like the color
is it?
Gold.
It's fancy like it is, but
it is
not
really,
quite.
It's really nice.
Not quite. It is
good,
you know,
doesn't it? I like it too. It's not gold, though.
It's not gold, Grant.
What is it?
I don't know. You have to ask the nice lady
it
who made it in Israel.
It's Israeli.
Yeah.
You have an Israeli nose ring.
I do.
Hmm. Yeah. How did it get over here?
The Postal Service.
You ordered
another
it online?
Bad band
yeah.
Name.
You ordered it online from Israel?
Yeah.
Come on.
On Etsy.
Come on, that's interesting.
Oh, I love Etsy.
Etsy's
that's where
great.
I got my necklace, too.
Well, really, that's how you got this cool necklace. It's like coral or something.
I mean, it's actually just little Czech beads made by a sweet lady in the Ukraine, but I got it on Etsy.
Okay.
It's a lot cheaper than a plane ticket.
I just remembered a Bulgarian woman from Etsy made part of my wedding dress.
There you go.
Well, congratulations. When did you get married?
Last year.
What time? Not the day.
4 p.m.
4 p.m. That's
a
good
Sunday.
Time.
Yeah.
On a Sunday, that's very,
so like
very considerate of you.
Yeah.
4 p.m. on a Sunday is cheaper than what? And Saturday.
Then Saturday and Friday nights.
Is that right? Where did you get married?
At the Marini Opera House.
Oh, that's another great idea. Who played there?
Who played?
Yeah.
Her
like
wedding
for my
played.
Wedding.
Yeah. Who was
well,
the band?
We actually did have a local band at the time. They were called the Sierra Leone Experience, but now they're called the Sierra Green and the Soul Machine. We actually went to see them last night because it's close to our anniversary, so we went, and they're fantastic.
When's your anniversary?
You're gonna send me a gift?
Yeah, I'm gonna write it down.
Okay, March 26th.
March 26th.
Yes.
So, have we had that yet?
Yes.
It's
April 11th.
It's April 11th right now. Okay, so you just had your first anniversary.
I did.
Okay, so how'd the first year go?
Great. Fine. Good.
How long had you been dating before you got married?
A year and a half.
A year and a half? Oh, not long.
No, we got engaged after 3 months, and then we stayed engaged for a long time, and then we did a really intense destination wedding where we actually moved here, planned the wedding, and now just still live here.
Jesus, you are brave. Wild. Holy hell, where did you move from?
We were living in Seattle when we met.
And you met in Seattle. Where did you meet? Yep. At a Starbucks or Microsoft?
At Amazon? No.
Costco?
Whole Foods?
Yeah. Costco's from Seattle, too. I just found that out yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. You
met from Kirkland, Washington. That's why the vodka's called Kirkland
Vodka. Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you actually met your husband in Whole Foods?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought you were serious.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Where did
just
you?
Just like in his apartment.
Because
I was friends with his roommate and just like go to his apartment.
Okay. So what was the situation? You were just the three of you were over there? Was it a party?
No, just a group of people hanging out. We were actually going to play Settlers of Catan.
I love that game.
It's a nice game.
What is it?
It's a really cool board game invented by a German guy. You
treat things like sheep.
You get resources. Yeah.
It's a real board game, not an online game.
No, it's a real board game.
You can probably play it online.
So you have little plastic sheets.
It's more fun with real people.
It's like Monopoly with sheep.
It's kind of more like Risk.
Yeah.
Monopoly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. So did you actually get around to playing it, or were you too drunk at the time?
We didn't play that night.
Good expression. We have
played many times since.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, that's pretty exciting. So what did you why did you decide to get married after only a month and a half? Was it 6 weeks?
3 months.
12 weeks. Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah, we just felt, you know, like it was a good idea. And then we kind of
moving to New Orleans
seemed like a good idea. So we did that too. And both things have worked out well.
Are you prone to have like spontaneous type actions in your life? You're like that.
Yeah. I move a lot. Try out different places.
And you're going to stay here now, you two?
That's what I was wondering too. Do you have like an expiration date on New Orleans? Like, what's your approach?
Probably just like the city's actual expiration date.
You're going to be here as long as the city
is. That could be any day.
That's dark.
Exactly.
It's very dark.
You never know. Really? So you're here forever? You know what?
This is a lot of pressure,
till you
guys.
Die.
Do you want me to sign like a 12-year lease?
I'm not really. I'm not really deputized on behalf of the city to do that, but yeah. Where are you living?
We live in Bayou St. John.
Okay. So everything's worked out pretty good.
Yeah,
and you have
are going
an awesome
well.
Job.
I have a great job. I work at the Palace Art Market, and it's absolutely fantastic.
How did you get that job? You're the curator of the Palace Art Market.
Yeah, so I'm the director of operations and the head curator.
It. So who owns it exactly? Is it you as well?
No, I don't own it.
So
I just run it.
Who owns that whole thing?
Gregor Fox owns it.
What is that a person?
Yes.
And
it's a Fox Holdings.
Okay. So he owns this, like, because how does it work? It's on the street, so.
Yeah, well, it's actually.
How does the whole thing work? Exactly?
It's essentially, if it wasn't filled with artists every night, it would just be a parking lot. So it's not quite on the street. It's tucked back. But it's just a big lot filled with cement and fences. And then we
fill
it with artists.
You put these green umbrellas up there and tables. And these people are there. Every single night. It's not just Friday and Saturday when all the tourists.
No, we're open every single night, and it's not the same people every night, but we've got about 80 to 100 artists that rotate through. Some of them are there every single night. Don't take days off at all.
It's pretty amazing business, actually.
Yeah.
That really was just a dead area down there. Well, it was just a place where locals went and hung out, I guess, before you got here.
Yeah, I mean, Frenchman Street in general is just blowing up. It's getting so busy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's great. I mean...
You guys play on Frenchman Street still?
Oh, not as much as I used to. I used to be down there like 4 or 5 nights a week. Now I'm there like once or twice a month.
Really? And why the change?
Well, have you been to Frenchman lately?
Yes.
It's turned into Bourbon Street.
It's horrific.
It's turned into Bourbon Street, except they don't guarantee musicians a wage. So, like, you don't know what you're making. You know, you get a percent of the bar, you know, plus tips. And on Bourbon, you get like a guarantee per hour.
Right.
You know.
So is this a conspiracy among all the bar owners on Frenchman Street that all treat you the same?
Like shit, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because musicians are considered to be shit. So that's how we get treated.
But this was a local street. Frenchman Street was
It used to be. It's not anymore. That's why I'm not there anymore. That's the changes that you're talking about.
But it came from that tradition of being a street where the locals would go.
It did, but it hasn't been that for many, many years.
Yeah, but so how did it carry on? How did it evolve into not being paid?
Well, it's always been like that. It's always been like a cut of the bar. It's just that, like, you know, it's turned into what Bourbon Street is, like a tourist thing, except with more of a focus on music than, say, you know, strip clubs and big-ass beers.
Are people listening to you play there?
Sort of. Depends on which club you play at.
Right.
But, the pay scale hasn't caught up, you know.
Do you have certain loyalties to certain venues on Frenchman?
I mean, I prefer certain venues over others. Maybe I shouldn't mention names in case they're listening and I get blacklisted.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want to screw it up at DBA or Maison or what I mean.
Yeah.
One of those ones.
Yeah.
There aren't too many. What else is the Spotted Cat? That's too small for you guys.
Cat, Blue Nile, Apple Barrel.
Oh, yeah.
There's all those new things that popped up, like Three Muses and 3090 and...
Vaso.
Oh,
now there's a hotel there, too.
Great. Oh, yeah, there is a Frenchman hotel. Jeez. Yep. Yeah, anyway, it's just...
Well, so what about if everybody and all the musicians unionized?
Well, Louisiana's a right-to-work state, actually, so the union has no power. And so also, musicians are not the most organized people. Maybe you've noticed.
Interesting. Yeah. Is there... So, well, I feel like a few years ago, maybe I guess 5-6 years ago, people used to say things like you're from out of town, you're visiting... Visit Bourbon Street, but what you really want to do, the secret is go to Frenchman Street.
Yeah,
and now when
that.
Now when tourists now when tourists come, they're like, what do I do after Frenchman Street? It's like people who have never been here before are like,
Street.
I'm going to Frenchman Street. So we need a new street.
Well,
I mean, there is one, but I don't want to like spill the beans. I want to keep it local, you know what I mean?
Oh, you're very smart.
Yeah.
Well, there's no such thing anymore since he opened all these other places. Everybody knows everything. It used to be like, you know, two different New Orleans. There was the tourist New Orleans, and then there was the...
There is.
There still
there
is.
Yeah.
Where
but
would
it's
you
also,
go?
It's all on the internet these days, too.
That's what
and
I mean,
with all the Airbnb everywhere, then everyone's like, you know, being a new tour guide to everybody, like, oh, you really want to go down to blah, blah, blah club. And
right.
Where the locals go is blah, blah, blah restaurants.
That's
so
what I mean. There's no such thing as locals.
Insider knowledge.
Yeah. Well, you can't get away with locals only anymore because of all these places people mention on the internet immediately. So where do you go that's different in Guyana?
I mean, I like... Oh, here we go. I'm going to spill the beans. I like the St. Claude Strip.
Well, that's where everybody's going, right?
Man, stay away, people. I mean, come in and tip the band, but then leave.
But I don't know if tourists have actually caught up with that, really.
There's not too many tourists.
It's pretty much
locals.
Yeah.
Because, like, okay, so, like, the kind of music that they book isn't, like, the kind of music tourists are really...
You don't want to come all the way to New Orleans to go hear Bulgarian music.
Right, yeah. Like, there's Bulgarian music on St. Claude and weird avant-garde jazz, which isn't what tourists want.
Who is the audience for Blotto's Lotto?
It's a good question. So
finally. See, I told you I'd come up with that.
So there's a New Orleans contingent of these folk dancers. They're called the Crescent City International Dancers. And, you know, they've been doing this kind of stuff since the 70s when it was popular on college campuses. And they just get together once a week and they do their folk dancing. And they played recorded music.
Right.
And after about 2 minutes and 30 seconds, the song ends and then the dance has to end. And so they're really happy that we came along and we play this music live, and then they could just
how
do
many
their
of
dance.
This is like the Cajun dancers that go to Tipitina's on a Sunday night. There's
many. There's a bunch of them.
There's a good crowd. At least 20 of them that show up to their weekly folk dance meetings, and then half of them will come to all our shows.
They come to all our
shows.
So that's
a guaranteed 10 people.
Guaranteed 10 people, yeah.
I guess that's
great.
A good start.
No, we definitely fill the house.
You have thousands of followers on Facebook. I know you don't want to talk about Facebook a little bit.
Oh, we love Facebook.
You have thousands of followers on Facebook, and lots of listens to your record, and you have two records out.
We have two very viral videos.
Ooh. Two viral videos.
Yeah, we're big in Bulgaria and big in the Republic of Georgia.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Are they buying any music over there,
no,
or stealing it just like
not.
Us?
Okay.
So
no, but they
like
saw
American
our video and they liked it.
So you can go there and play and get people to come to the show.
That's the idea.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, let's take a listen to some Blotto's Lotto, why don't we?
That sounds great.
What are we going to listen to? What are we playing?
So this next song that we're going to listen to is called Doncho and the Big Wall. This song's got a little bit of a political edge to it.
Okay. Is it in Bulgarian?
Yes, it is, because we're subversive like
that. So
you don't know what it's saying, and you don't know what it's about.
We wrote it, by the way. Doncho is like the Bulgarian nickname for Donny. So, you know, it's not about anyone in particular,
Donny,
but just like a little...
like Donald.
Yeah, just like a little guy named Donny who wants to build a really big wall. It's just, it's not
Bulgarian
related to reality at all.
This is a song about the wall.
We wrote.
And is it like a critique of the wall in?
It's kind of like
a
cautionary
compared
tale.
To the wall that was in East
It's
Berlin.
Like a cautionary tale. So Doncho is like this sad and lonely man with really small hands, teeny tiny hands actually, and you know he's just sitting around being miserable, and he wants to vanquish all his enemies, and he hates his neighbors, and he wants to build this big wall to keep them out. You know, so it's a cautionary tale, because when he eventually builds this wall, you know, it covers up his beautiful view, and it's kind of like he built a prison for himself. Poor Donnie. Doncho.
Whoops.
So
Donnie.
How do you pronounce his name?
Doncho.
Doncho. How do you spell it?
Doncho. It's actually spelled in Cyrillic. You read Cyrillic, right?
I don't even know what that is, but yes, I could totally read it.
Oh,
it's got like dots and sort of weird.
No, that's a different alphabet.
Looks like GmbH
like
or something. That's German. What is? Can you write it?
In Cyrillic?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't we listen to it while I write it? Cause
okay.
That's boring
Let's
for
take
listeners.
Let's take a listen to Doncho.
Yeah.
That says Doncho. Guy's name, Doncho.
Doncho. I think we say the name in the beginning of the song.
Doncho stands there. We just said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. We just
That's
said
a
it,
chorus
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Turn up a little bit there.
Well, we don't say it.
We don't say it there.
So is this the chorus?
No, this is like the tension part where like we're building the wall, but Congress isn't gonna fund it. So Mexico's not gonna pay for it.
Blue, you're playing the accordion.
I'm playing the accordion. Our violin player Ian is playing, and our bass player P is playing. We're all just creating this tension that, like, holy shit, what kind of society am I living in right now? That this is really happening around me.
What about if you did this in English, and so we could actually get a few people to listen to it?
You know, people do listen to it.
It
also gives us a nice little break at our shows. We call it Story Time with Boyana. We actually composed a little ditty there behind it, and she tells the story of it.
I tell the story of Doncho.
I get to stretch my left arm. People get to tune. It's great. We just put her on the mic.
Yeah. So you
for a long time.
I'll tell you what the lyrics mean.
It's
the
story
so
like
you told
us. We don't
have to sing it in English. Yes.
Right. That's great. It's a good song, too. What do you think, Chris?
I'm into it. I wish I listened to more music like this, and I will listen.
You can listen to us, and we got some gigs coming up.
Where?
Tomorrow night we're going to be at Siberia. Yeah.
Cool.
Thursday night they do their, like, Balkan
Klezmer series.
Okay, let's
just get the date straight here.
Sunday,
tomorrow is the 12th.
Oh, yeah.
April 12th.
12th of April 2018.
9 o'clock till midnight.
Yeah.
At where? Siberia.
Siberia. Okay. And Sunday we're at French Quarter
Fest. French Quarter Festival, yes.
On the Heart of Bourbon Street.
That's
because
us.
What
Heart
says
of Bourbon.
Heart of Bourbon Street more than Bulgarian music?
Yeah. Who wouldn't want to go
Yeah, we're all going to wear I Heart Bourbon Street t-shirts.
Yeah, I think it's like the first time there's going to be Bulgarian music on Bourbon Street.
Why don't you get the other t-shirt? Like, I got shit face. What is it? I got
bourbon
face on shit street.
Oh, yeah, on shit street.
That would be a good
one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Trouble one and trouble two.
Oh, that's bitch. Thing one, thing two.
Thing one. Is that what it is? Okay.
There's a lot of good ones there.
Yeah.
What other ones do they have? They have some really awesome ones. So you're playing it on Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do people in bars think here when you, not the audience, but people who book music, when you say we got a Bulgarian
band? Well, we don't
band.
Book shows on Bourbon Street.
No.
How
do you sell this? You're in all kinds of bands. Boyana, you're in a tons of bands.
I am, yeah.
You're in One Love, which is a sort of a
reggae
band.
Band. Yeah.
And are you still in Scott Agius's band?
Not anymore.
You're not in that band. What was that called again? I can't remember
that. That was called Jamaica Me Breakfast
Jamaica
Club.
Jamaica Me Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
You're out of that?
Yeah.
What else are you in?
Man, I play with a bunch of different people. I play with a guy from the Ivory Coast, master percussionist called Segun Okone. Been working with him for like 10 years. We mentioned One Love. I play with an Afro-Brazilian drum line called Bachi Bunda. I play with another Balkan group. It's a brass band called the Backyard Balkan Brass. I play it with the Panorama Brass Band.
Two Balkan bands.
Two Balkan bands. Only two? Why, Boyana? Why? You're slacking.
And a klezmer band. How many have we got to so far? Like eight?
I mean, it's more than that, but, you know, we can move on.
How do you keep it all straight in your head, all the music?
I use a calendar. Oh, the music.
Musically, when you sit down to play.
Wing it, you know. Don't tell that. I didn't say that. What?
Just winging it.
Nothing
just comes
to see
back
here.
To you once you sit down.
And that's Lou, why it's an improviser's town.
Who do you play with?
I play with a bunch of people, too. I actually, besides Blato Zlato, I have another Balkan band that's all a cappella. It's all women, and it's 10 of us. And we sing also, like, all polyphonic Bulgarian and other stuff from Eastern Europe.
Is that the PAEA band, or is that
no,
someone else?
No, you know, PAEA was a trio that existed some years ago.
Yeah.
And then some of us, other people who play Balkan music, discovered them and merged our bands. And that's how Blato Zlato was kind of born.
And what's your other a cappella?
That's called Trenda Filka.
Oh, that's too difficult.
Yeah, I'll write it in Cyrillic for you. It's
really
easy.
Cyrillic for me down.
Yeah.
I can probably
it's all
do
really
it.
Easy time signatures, just like that last song was.
So this is all tricky type music for Western musicians.
Yeah, until you get used to it. Yeah.
What do you mean by time signature? I mean, I know what
well,
a time
that,
signature
that
is.
One
not
we just heard was in 11/8.
11/8. How would that go, Boyan? Well, you're the drummer, Boyan. How does that go? 11? Do it on the table or something.
Ding, 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 ding. Did you count 11?
Chris, we up to
it's
11.
Like,
Katie, how
it's far? More like
I'm trusting. I'm trusting her
100%
on this.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, in Bulgarian music, you have like longs and shorts, you know. So this isn't the correct way to count it, but it'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the 3 is long, you know. Or you could like subdivide in the eighth notes and do like 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Katie, are you following any of this?
Got it.
My husband's actually trying to teach me music theory because it doesn't make any sense to me at all.
What does he do, your husband?
He's not a professional musician, but he grew up playing piano and saxophone, and so he like understands music theory. And
his name?
You can write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
in
Alex.
Alex, A-L-E-X.
Yep.
That's in English, not Cyrillic. Okay.
Yep.
And he's from here, and he's not from here either.
No, he's from West Virginia.
Okay. And is he teaching you music theory in the evenings after work, or
do
you work at night?
Well, he's been trying to explain it. I work at night, but he's been trying to explain it to me, but I'm just not catching on. So I told him he literally has to like write out a lesson plan and like just kind of walk me through. I need to know more of the physics of it. I think. Like,
what
of
are you trying
sound.
To find out?
I'm just trying to understand it because it's like you say those words and those numbers, and it just doesn't. It doesn't make sense.
And what do you think?
Like,
What do you want to know about music? You want to know how it's constructed just so you can know?
I just want to understand it better.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
I'm not a very musically inclined person myself, but he's really talented, and he's definitely helped me understand
And what does
slowly.
He do here?
He works for the city of New Orleans.
Really? That's an interesting job. As what?
He is a special projects manager for the Office of Performance and Accountability. He's a data scientist, so he looks at our data and is like, and it's like, wow. Oh, no, we should, you know, do these things.
We should fund schools.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. Is he part of the regime change when we have a new mayor? Is he going to get fired? Or
we have no idea. Isn't that fun?
Right.
Oh, that's how that works, huh?
Yeah. He's, you know, he does a nice job. So, and also I think it's, you know, it's good to keep people around to keep people accountable. Like, it's a good department. So,
for
but
sure.
Who knows?
Hey, well, it is New Orleans after.
You know, but if he loses his job, he can busk. Because he plays guitar and saxophone and piano and, you know.
Are y'all hiring?
Yeah, well.
We don't really need a guitarist. I'm sorry, Alex.
Sorry, Alex.
Oh, well.
But he could open for you.
Yeah,
sure.
We'll take
nice guitar solo opening for the Bulgarian band.
It's got to be in an odd time signature, though.
Yeah, like, and probably E minor.
Yeah. Sorry.
Maybe D minor. That's all we do.
Is he really interested in being a street musician if he gets fired? Or would there maybe something else he could do?
You know, hopefully something else, because he's not a fantastic, he's an okay musician, you know? He just
Sorry, Alex.
Sorry, Alex.
Sorry, we're trying really hard.
You've got to be a pretty good musician to make it a nuance, I mean.
Yeah,
really,
I think you got to be pretty good. He's also pretty shy. He's been saying since we moved here that he would go out and try it, but he's extremely shy. I think his niche is just parroting really annoying male voices on songs. He does a great Randy Newman, which I call Randy Old Man. as like his parody name. And yeah, just Counting Crows, he can do that, like just dig into how annoying those voices are.
Does he just nail it? Does he write new material for those songs, or is it just it's just making the fun of the voices?
Yeah.
Okay. Just, can you do an impression? You do an impression of him?
No, but after we're done, I'll show you a video of him being Randy Oldman.
If you we got a lot of videos to show.
Get it? Because Chris has a theater. Chris has got the theater called the New Movement Theater.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is comedy.
Yeah, we do comedy over at St. Claude, 2706 St. Claude Avenue. Shout out to...
That's where the locals go, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's where the locals go.
Uh-oh. It's, we ruined it.
Not quite.
Blowing up the spot.
Not quite, because I kind of think St. Claude is like the almost like the cover charge district, where it seems like locals are like, I'm down to go there and spend $10 on something that's going to go to artists or help this scene out. So,
but that's how locals are. Locals are into supporting the arts. Tourists that's what Chris just like, said. Oh, big ass beer.
Well,
throw up on the sidewalk.
All we got to do is keep the big ass beers off of St. Claude Avenue. That's a good battle cry.
I'm into that.
That's a good t-shirt right there.
That's a good t-shirt.
I like large amounts of alcohol, though. Like,
don't worry, you can go to Jeans. That's right there.
That's true. Jeans is our big ass beers.
I don't need to be labeled that. I just like large containers. Yeah.
And you like a lot of alcohol in your hands at the same time, you mean?
Yeah, it's just convenient.
You feel
safe. You know, go to the bar once, get a large container.
Get a camelback. Get a camelback.
Go to Bulgaria.
Yeah, actually, Eastern Europe, the normal beer containers are
they look like
a Coke bottle or something.
Yeah. When I come back from Bulgaria and I go to a bar and I get a 12-ounce beer, it's just like, what the hell is this little kitty beer, man? Give me a real beer.
It's like when Americans go to Canada and get a soft drink at like a fast food place. It's super small.
Right.
Same thing.
Or you get ice and you drink in some other country where they put two little blocks of ice in it. So... what do you like to drink, Katie? What's your drink of choice, then, apart from quantity?
Well, I'm having a gin cocktail that has cranberry and sage in it.
Nice.
It's really nice. I like high-gravity beers because just efficiency.
High gravity?
You know, like high alcohol content. Like.
Is that called high-gravity beer?
Yeah.
I've never heard that term.
I haven't either.
Like gravity, just like... because
She's going to hit the deck.
No, I have no idea why it's called that.
Have you heard that term?
I've
you
not
heard beer
it.
Drinkers?
Yes. Not since I was a teenager, but yes, a lot.
Where did you
just
grow
convenient.
Up?
I grew up in Boston.
In Boston?
Yeah,
so
we
they
like
have high
our
gravity beer
beers.
There.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've learned something today, high gravity beer.
It's like malt liquor.
Christy knows a bit about high gravity beer. She's a big beer drinker.
Gravity is a great name to use to describe something,
especially if it's serious and grave.
Yeah.
With gravity.
It's just good.
Beer. Yeah.
It's good.
Okay. How often do you get totally so drunk that you can't remember the next day?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, I don't think
Grant.
I don't think I've done that in a couple years. The high gravity is not about drinking a lot. It's just about efficiency. I want to have a few amount of drinks.
Right.
You know, as few as possible.
So you're working on Frenchman Street every night.
I do take days off, but yes,
but
most
nights. Okay, when you're working, you're working at night. So you have to be there to run the whole thing. What's your feeling about all these tourists down there? Do you hate them?
I love that they come and buy from these artists and, you know, support them.
Right.
I personally don't go out to the bars anymore on Frenchman Street because it is pretty crowded.
You've only been
it's
here
not my
one
style.
Year.
Two.
2 years.
Yeah.
And you're already over
it. I don't
like
crowds in general. So.
Well, you've got a good job then, being the art curator on Frenchman Street.
Yeah. I don't leave... the confines of the market. It's crazy out there, but the market's kind of a little oasis on Frenchman. It's
crazy out there.
I mean, it gets busy, but it's, you know.
It's a bit more sedate.
A little bit quieter and a lot of nice things to look at.
So it's open from 7 o'clock at night, isn't it, till midnight usually?
Midnight on the weekdays, 1 a.m. on the weekends.
1 a.m. Okay, so I'm a tourist and I'm wandering around and I've been to the Spotted Cat or somewhere like that and I've had a few drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty drunk. I go and buy a painting and then I'm carrying that around or what?
Well, most of our artists ship. So you can drunkenly buy something and then have it show up at your house, much like drunk online shopping. You're just like, what am I?
So
a painting.
Thing. Okay, all right.
Yeah. And then it's not just huge paintings. We have people who are doing a lot of jewelry, which is obviously easy to take with you at the time. And not everyone who comes through is totally drunk. You know?
But it helps with an art purchase, though, if you are totally drunk, doesn't it?
I mean, it might give you the guts to buy a really expensive
painting. I'm pretty sure that everything I've ever bought in my house I bought when I was drunk.
I would love to see
come over.
How you've done.
Yeah. I think I've made some pretty wise investments.
Oh, good. But yeah, so without the tourists, these artists, you know, there has to be a market.
It's pretty awesome that you can do it, though, because you're giving so many artists a livelihood down there.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that only really happens in New Orleans. Like, my sister's an artist back in Michigan, and it is not, you know, the opportunities don't exist. You don't have all this tourist
so
money coming in.
So you've created this. You and
what's his name? No.
Fergus McDougall.
Fergus McDougall.
What was his name? Anyone remember his name, the guy who owns it?
No idea.
Fox. I did not create it. I just keep it running smoothly so that the artists, I mean,
the artists
are what, like, make the market. Otherwise, it's just a parking lot, you know? And so we just try to, you know, keep it running efficiently and help them do what they need to do.
Is there any drama involved with it, or does it all just run smoothly and everyone shows up and no one complains to you about
it? It's pretty smooth, you know? People aren't getting into fights or they just show up.
So
you
got a pretty good
art.
Gig then. You don't have to worry about anything.
I mean, it's pretty.
Things don't go wrong. You don't come home and go, oh my God.
No. And
Alex.
Alex.
Why do we ever move here? Yeah. It's always good.
Yeah. I mean, it's going great right now. It's the busy season, so the artists are happy. They're making money. It's going well. Summer will be slow, and that'll be, you know, hard.
Right.
The artists say it's usually their feast or famine. You know, you have your busy seasons and then your dead season.
Well, Chris, how's it going down at the New Movement Theater? Are you guys still packing them in?
We are doing very well, Grant. Thank you. We are up and running. We have shows. This weekend coming up is our first full weekend since Mardi Gras. So we've got Friday the 13th sketch comedy show. On
Friday the 13th of?
This month.
April.
What is it?
April.
Yes. And
time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I can never keep up with them.
You'll figure it out, Grant.
I never remember which one it is.
Do you know where you are, Grant?
Yes.
You're at Wayfair.
I'm right across from the European Wax Center.
So, yeah, sketch comedy show this Friday, 8 o'clock, then a stand-up show right after at 9:30, then two improv shows the next night, so, and then our student recitals run Sunday, so feeling good, looking good.
So business is rocking along.
Business is rocking along.
Because you had a pretty rough beginning to this year.
Yeah, we had a rough beginning to the year, but things are for sure, a lot of lessons learned, a lot of adapting occurred, and a lot of changes, but we're feeling good.
How did all this get resolved in the end? Because these people, what exactly happened? People are accusing you in the theater of some sort of sexual harassment stuff. And
not me, not the theater.
Not you personally.
Someone who used to work for the theater. It's very confusing. It's very it's something that happened not at the theater, and we're dealing with
there was one incident.
There was one alleged incident. Yeah.
Okay. I read about one alleged incident in the Times-Picayune. I think it was.
Yeah.
And that's the only coverage I've ever seen of this story.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's because I don't know why that is. I'm not in the press room. But we are. We are good. We're good. We've got a lot of things in place now to prevent stuff like this from happening. We got a lot of resources available to people who need those types of resources. We got a lot of new training for employees and students that's being offered to all kinds of people. We're very, very excited about the future.
Okay. So there was, as you said, some sort of lessons learned as a result of this.
Yeah. Well,
so what have you had to institute? Like policies or?
Well, just better policies and also better... working on better channels to listen to people, which I think we thought we had on lock before, but we didn't. And we've also learned quite a bit in terms of just how to run a business like ours in a city like this, the size of ours. So we've scaled back quite a bit. Because we used to have a theater in Austin and a theater here. We sold the theater in Austin to some former students out there. So that's off our plate, and they're killing it, and they're doing great, and everything's cool over there. So we just pretty much slowed down because it's hard to, you know, just learning a lot about running an arts business in a venue in a city like this on a street like St. Claude.
So what's the comedy scene like? Are there, because when this all went down here, there seemed to be people targeting you basically on Twitter, as far as I've seen, people just out to get you. One Twitter account is called Boycott the New Movement.
Uh-huh.
And all they are concerned about is just saying shit about you, basically.
You know,
and
people can do
there's
what
some other guy whose name I can't now remember who would say stuff about our website, itsneworleans.com, because you have used to do a show on itsneworleans.com, the True to the Game, the sports show, and there were this whoever this was is writing, I can't believe you're still associated with this guy, and blah, blah, blah. And they seem to be super out to get you, these people.
Yeah, I cannot speak for them.
But what is the deal with it? Is there like some competition? I mean, we don't know anything about, you guys know anything about the comedy scene here?
Not at all.
No. So you, Katie, and you're down there. No, I don't.
I know about haters.
Haters.
Haters can hate. Yeah.
What's your feeling about it?
Well, you know, when people go online and stuff, like they feel like empowered or something because it's not face to face. They're just talking right to a screen or whatever. They're typing words on a screen, so they feel like empowered to say shit they wouldn't say to your face at all. You know, and it's like they just spew negativity. You know, so it's a trend.
Yeah.
I would love to take this opportunity, too, to tell all of y'all and anyone listening about the comedy scene in New Orleans.
Yes.
Because there are shows happening all over the place, all over the city, pretty much every night of the week. It's like it's a legit comedy scene. You know, I think like 7 or 8 years ago, it was like there's like four really good shows, you know, and now there is like at least one really good show every night of the week and venues all across the city. So obviously not quite on par with the music scene here, but it's a lot of similarities. You know, it's like the early days of what, if it continues growing like this, what will be a very robust, involved and high quality comedy scene. We just got to make sure people stay in town. I think that's the biggest thing for the New Orleans comedy scene is people that get really good here and then eventually leave, which is totally their right and they can, you know, all good. But the more people that stay here right and are like and are pushing the New Orleans comedy scene, the better.
It is impressive if you go out and hear comedy. It is amazing how many people are doing great things here. But what is the deal? So the New Movement Theater is your theater.
Yes.
And you train people to do improv, and there's a lot of improv classes, and you can work your way through and learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And is there competition? Are these people who are out to get you your competitors? Or do they just hate you personally for some reason? Or what's
I can't speak on that, but I know that there are other shows. There are other shows that not just ours. There are shows you could go. I know the Valiant Theater in Araby has a lot of improv shows okay right now. And if you go to, I believe the best resource, if you're looking to see every single comedy show in the city, just like one, looking at all of it, regardless of affiliation or what genre of comedy, comedyinnola.com.
Comedyinnola.
In Nola. Yeah. That has this like list of, so whenever comics come to town.
Is it two N's?
No.
Or just one N?
It's just one.
It's not a hotel. It's not an inn. It's just a comedy in Nola.
Hey, they, you know, they might open
well,
a hotel.
Well, it has two ends because inn ends in an inn and Nola starts with an inn.
Yeah, so it's
so
comedy in Nola.
Ha ha. Okay.
No, comedy in Nola. So like basically when out-of-town comics come to town, which happens all the time. Like we had Neil right Brennan in last night who was just here to film something and then wanted to do a drop-in show. That happens all the time because people love visiting New Orleans and they typically will go to that website to be
comedyinnola.com. Okay, that's what we should look out for.
Yeah.
C-Rock, what's going on?
I think we should move on from this topic because some of our listeners don't agree with it at all and just move away from comedy.
Move off of comedy? Wow. What do you mean?
It's not funny.
What are you hearing from people listening live on Facebook?
We got a little bit going in the comment section.
What?
And I
what
think
is
to
the
just
haters?
Haters.
What are they saying?
I don't think it's fair to call anyone a hater if they have legitimate concerns. But I don't know if this is the place to address them.
Well, I think it is. What are they saying? Well,
that's because you love exciting radio.
What are they saying? If someone's going to put this on Facebook, C-Rock, and it's live right
now...
You
can read it.
Bring it over to me.
Yeah.
Bring it over here. Okay.
Do the listeners want to hear more about
I'm happy to read
music?
It. This is from someone called Kai Krebs. Can you also ask True why he's lying about being accused? Because he was accused, and so was Tammy, of other issues arising from the conversation of the incident that happened outside the theater. Now, see, this is what I mean.
Yeah.
Every time...
Yeah.
I don't know who the Kai Krebs is. Do you know Kai Krebs?
I do know Kai Krebs.
Okay,
Kai Krebs
so
is
what's
a very talented stand-up comedian, improviser in Austin. He's from Louisiana, though.
Okay. And this is a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is he accusing you of lying about? It says you're giving him a platform to literally lie to people about what happened, and it's irresponsible. Are you telling us lies about what happened?
I am not telling you lies. So, Grant. Why are you giving me this platform?
So why does Kai Krebs think you're lying, and what does he think? What does he assume happened?
I don't know, but I'm happy to have a conversation with Kai Krebs if he wants to. Kai hasn't reached out to me, but he knows where to find me. I'm happy to have a chat with him.
But you must know what he's talking about.
I do know what they are talking about to a certain extent, but I don't
know. Are they
know.
Saying that you sexually harass people in the theater?
I do not think that's what they're saying.
You but don't think that's what they're saying?
You can ask him.
Kai. Oops, what did I do here? Fuck that up somehow. Okay. It says, and look, they drag you into it now. It says, Blotto's Lotto was really embarrassing themselves.
Uh-oh.
You see what
internet.
I mean? And I'm going to be dragged into it as well, I'm sure, dang. Because I'm hosting the show. And Katie, you're going to be dragged
come
into it as well.
Come watch us embarrass ourselves on stage at French Quarterfest.
That's what we do every night. People pay us to do it.
But this is what I'm saying. It seems to me to be something pretty serious going on here, that the people are either out to get you because they hate you, or you're just totally making this all up and you're just lying about what really happened.
Right.
So which one is it?
Oh, well, I don't know if it's either of those things. I don't know if people are just out to get me. I think that
why would Kai Krebs be saying the stuff that you're lying if he's why would he make that up?
Because
he's got mental problems of some sort.
You know, I don't know Kai super well. I don't think Kai has mental problems. I think people are upset about what happened, or what allegedly happened at the outside the theater and within our community, and people aren't happy with the way that we try to. There you go. People aren't happy with some people are, but some people are not happy with the way that we tried to handle it. And still,
what would they like to happen? The people that would like you to do something different, what would they like to see happen?
Some of the things that we were asked to do was are just straight up like illegal and against the law in terms of how to handle a situation.
What?
I can't go into details on that. But
I think you might want to, really.
No, I don't.
Someone asked you to do something illegal and you refused to do it. I think you're allowed to say what that is.
But I'd rather not, because we are for sure learning from this experience, and we are moving on, and while doing our best to adapt and be better, you know. And we have for sure taken measures to be better.
But if you didn't do anything wrong in the first place, what do you need to improve?
Well, just in general, I think our company we're a small company that was like growing really fast.
Right.
And some in a lot of ways that's good, and I think for us it was equal parts good and bad. And just stuff like how big does our HR department need to be? How many people do
But none of that has got anything to do with sexual harassment. I mean, there's...
Well, HR does.
Yes, it does.
But I mean, that's, people grow businesses and they get too big and they, you know, things go wrong and stuff, but it's not necessarily connected to any kind of bad behavior.
Yeah, well...
And you're saying there was no bad behavior in the theater itself. Anyway.
That's correct. There was no bad behavior within the theater itself. The whole thing is very complicated, and honestly, we are still learning about it and figuring new things out. There are things that are changing every couple of days, new information, new people that are saying, I learned what happened, and this is what I think. Some people are saying, here's what I think happened, here's what I don't think happened.
Okay, so this is an ongoing discussion hasn't reached the end yet. So we haven't... we're still on the he said, she said type...
I think there's a little bit of that, and I think that some people are very unhappy that the theater is open right now. And,
why?
Because I think that the game plan was for us to not be open. That's what people
wanted. This is what I'm asking from the beginning. Is this because there's some sort of competition among comedy people who are trying to destroy your theater for their own financial gain, or do they just not like you?
I don't think it's that. I think that there is natural competition in any arts. Like, I don't think it would be fair to say that like the band playing across the street from you is your competition. I mean, maybe that night they are...
Only if they're playing Bulgarian music.
Right. And maybe that night...
But they're not going to try and close Blotto's Lotto down just because you've got a big audience and they don't.
I mean, they might. You know.
I mean,
that
yeah.
doesn't happen.
That does happen, though, in the arts.
It does happen.
In the music scene?
Oh, yeah.
People are backstabbing.
Oh, my God. It's cutthroat.
Are you serious? Yeah. I did not know that.
No, it's
what's it like in the art scene, Katie? People are stabbing each other in the back?
I don't know. I feel underinformed about this particular issue, but I would be hesitant to use it to talk about how people try to tear other people down, because it... without knowing what happened, like, to say that what could be a very legitimate issue to say that people are pushing it just because they want your competition and they want to take you down. That doesn't seem
well. That's the question.
Fair.
That's the question we're asking. Though it's got to be. There has to be a reason. People aren't just.
Well, yeah, but I unless you want to explain the entire situation of what happened, which I don't think you do. I don't think that this is a productive conversation because none of us know what happened at all, and so to speak to it without knowing what happened.
Well, we could go for another.
All,
we could go for another hour and have a whole.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do we answer people then when they say that we've given you a platform now when people are going to jump on me and they're going to jump on Happy Hour and going to say that Blotto's Lotto are making fools of themselves?
Well, that's just a given. That's not nothing to Chris. We just do that.
What's our response to that, Chris?
You know, I think that people are allowed to feel and think what they want to feel and think, and I think some people are happy with spending time to make other, you know, to go after people, and that they have every right to do that. I think it's, I look forward to the day where everyone can kind of get back on the same page and kind of everyone can check each other on, like, what did we learn? Who or what was wrong? Where did we go wrong with this? How are we fixed it? And then people can come back, can stay away, can start a new thing. You know, that's a thing. In comedy especially, that is a way a lot of new things start. Like almost every comedy venue in this country that's super fair, but like I feel like a lot of comedy venues started because there was a split from a previous one. Probably the same thing with music venues or bands, perhaps, you know? Yeah. And I don't know, but I think there's going to be a lot more comedy in the city, which I don't think is a bad thing at all. It's going to be more accessible. There's going to be more shows from more people. And so to go back to your competition question, I'm not looking at it as competition. I think it's healthy. I think it's a healthy thing for a comedy scene. And I support it.
Okay.
Yeah. As far as I know right now, there's no other improv classes, sketch comedy classes. But that will probably also change. I mean, we've been the only place to do that for a long time. And
are you reaching out to these people who have a problem with you?
Yeah, we
to try and resolve this with them.
Yeah, we had a town hall meeting at our theater where we tried to address every question, concern, and also brainstorm ideas to make things better. And then we had a separate meeting, not town hall style, but of more like we were available to have one-on-ones or just small group meetings. We've done stuff like that, and we'll probably do more.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, I guess we'll move on from the.
Hey, if you want.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any result. We can't. There's no resolution to this issue as far as we're concerned. Because none of us know what really happened. All I know is that one article I read in the paper, which doesn't even happen at the theater, and it didn't seem to involve you, and no one's accused you personally of doing anything to them. So I find the whole thing a little confusing, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But it sure has got some people pissed off.
Clearly.
I would say, as far as, you know, what you, Graham, say to people who are saying you're giving him a platform is, you know, you make a decision to bring people on this show, and it should be an informed decision, and once you make that, that's who you're supporting and deciding to give a platform to, so there's some ownership involved in that.
Do you think that we give a platform to somebody just because we have a conversation with them? Do you think that's the same thing?
I think if you bring someone in here and put them in on Facebook Live and a publicly accessible platform, then, you know.
But do you think I have to make a decision about Chris before I invite him to come on the show? That I have to decide that he's innocent, guilty, or?
No, you could bring someone on who you don't support and use it as a platform to, you know, explore those issues. But I think in general, what the public will hold you accountable for is the people that you choose to give a platform to.
But how would we ever get anywhere if we didn't have conversations with people?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what this is.
And I think probably a conversation about this maybe not being recorded, you'd be able to get to some sort of conclusion where you felt like you understood what happened and if who's, you know, just the situation and whether or not you wanted to give a platform in this instance. So I'm not making any judgments. I'm just saying you will probably be held responsible by your listeners, for the people that you bring on, because it is a show of support to give someone a platform.
But I think it's a show of, I mean, whether or not it's a support, I would like to know what goes on. Mm-hmm. I like Chris. I think Chris is a super talented person. The theater is great. It's made a huge difference to the comedy scene in New Orleans. And I'm interested to know what happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if that's supporting, yeah, we support you. For sure. And I would like to see this resolved, and I would like to see people who have a problem solve the problem and move on.
Yeah, same. You know? Same. And I think that we are moving closer to that, especially like in-house in the theater, and the people who are coming to the theater and who are talking to us and learning more and just coming back to do shows.
Right.
And take classes.
All right. So the New Movement Theater is open for business.
Yes, sir. This Friday and Saturday, our first full weekend since Mardi Gras.
All right. And are you part of French Quarter Festival? Are you expecting to?
Not, but I will be out supporting shows. I think there's a certain show I'm going to Sunday night.
Sunday? Oh, it's daytime.
Daytime.
1:30 p.m.
Oh, listen to the harmony on that as well.
She doesn't even sing in the band.
I don't sing. I play drums. Yeah, but 1:30 to 2:45. p.m.
On Bourbon Street.
On Bourbon Street, 700 block, the heart of Bourbon Street.
That is. Right by Cats Meow.
Hand
what says heart of Bourbon Street more than
Bulgarian music? And the art market is open every single night down on Frenchman Street. Katie, we can go see you there.
Yep, every night at 7.
Every night from 7 till midnight.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, that's been Happy Hour for another week. Katie Tinsley has been here from the art market. Lou Carrig and Boyana Trajanova. From Blotto is Lotto and Chris True from the New Movement Theatre. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back here again next week. And thank you also, too, to Basic Swim and Gym, where you can get a full range of fashion swimsuits, workout and yoga clothes with style, to Hangover Destroyer, the only all-natural product medically proven to prevent a hangover, and to Louisiana Legs, where you can get workout and yoga clothes at Louisiana Legs by finding them on Instagram and on Etsy. And thanks, too, to our Patreon subscribers. If you'd like to be part of our It's New Orleans Happy Hour family, go to patreon.com and look for It's New Orleans Happy Hour. The show is produced this week by Graham DePonte. Our associate producers, Allison Moon and Christian Unruh. Is our music director, Thomas Walsh. Is our technical director, and our Facebook live feed director is Asher Griffith. Andrew C-Rock. C-Rock is our fact checker and social media connector. And our theme music was written by and is currently being played by Mitch Foreman. If you'd like to be on our show and you can sit upright for about 60 minutes while drinking alcohol, drop us a line. Our address is on our website, itsneworleans.com. We also make, hey, listen to that, it's the phone. We make other shows as well as the other happy hours you can listen to on our website. You can find Out to Lunch with Peter Asciutti, live from Commander's Palace, Louisiana Eats with Poppy Tucker, and our award-winning podcast about death called Death the Podcast, which was named one of the top 40 podcasts in America in 2017. You can also find other great Louisiana podcasts at itsacadiana.com and itsbatonrouge.la. You can keep up with us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and a bunch of other time-sucking social media as well, as long as it still exists. On all of it, we're called It's New Orleans. You can find photos from this show on itsneworleans.com and on our Facebook page. Those photos are taken by Allison Moon. If you listen to this show on your favorite podcast app, thank you for subscribing to us. Take a moment, if you've got one, to rate and review us. That helps other people find us. Our show is recorded live today at Wayfair on Ferret Street in Uptown New Orleans. Happy Hours, a production of I Know Broadcasting. For itsneworleans.com, for Andrew Duhon, who's on the road somewhere, we'll be back here next week. And you can find out more about his record release party and his gig at Jazz Fest and French Quarter Fest by going to andrewduhon.com. And thanks, too, to all our office staff back at I Know Broadcasting. And thank you for joining us. I'm Grant Morris. I'll see you back here next week for more Happy Hour.